One more announcement. Our Sizlin Senior Summer Olympics is coming up on June 25th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch included. This is going to be a really fun event. And please do not let the term Olympics put you off. There is going to be no sprinting, no weightlifting, no gymnastics. I threatened last week to give a gymnastics demonstration, but I've decided to back off. Yes, you're welcome. anyway, it's going to be things like beanbag toss and yes. Yes. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun, and as I said last week, if you don't want to participate in the activities, you can just sit in the shade and mock those who do. And but we need a number because we're going to serve lunch as a part of it, and there is no definition on seniors. If you want to come, come. And we're going to have some fun fellowship.
Is there a pastor dunk tank?
A pastor dunk tank. Oh, yes. Boy, yes. What a great idea. Yes. Yeah. I'll remember that you had that idea, Peter. Okay. Let's turn to Psalm 30. And before I read, I'd like for you to remember that the Psalms, the book of Psalms is the prayer book of the Bible. These are words, inspired words, given to us by God, so that we can give them back to God in prayer. The Psalms teach us how to pray. So throughout this series this summer, I'd encourage you in the week that follows, like for instance this week, pray Psalm 30 every day as part of your regular quiet time. And I'm going to be making some suggestions about how this can shape our prayer life. That's what the Psalms are for, given to us to teach us how to pray. So hear now the word of the Lord, Psalm 30, a psalm of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought me up, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hope in God. Hope in God's faithfulness is the great theme of Psalm 30. Weeping may tarry for a night, says David, but joy will come in the morning. David, because of the faithfulness of God, has hope that whatever suffering he's passing through, and it's never specified here, we don't know, but whatever suffering he's passing through is not going to be forever. Joy will come in the morning, in God's good time. This psalm teaches us to pray with hope. And sometimes you have to almost tell yourself, command yourself to do that. Sometimes you won't feel like it. But prayer that's modeled after this psalm has hope in God. There is a kind of suffering. Well, there's really two kinds of suffering that can befall us. There is a kind of suffering that is not at all your fault. It's just arbitrary suffering that comes into life. But then there's a suffering that we bring on ourselves by our own bad decisions and bad actions. David indicates here in Psalm 30 that he knows he was suffering because he's under God's punishment. David knew that God was chastening him for his sin, but notice there's no resentment of that. David knows that God is his father, and this chastening is for his good. This is fatherly discipline coming from a God who loves him. David also knew that God's anger with his children is always temporary. Look at verse 5 once again. His anger is but for a moment. His favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And also another truth to hold on to about any kind of suffering, whether it's something that just came into our lives arbitrarily or it's something that's clearly our fault. No suffering is forever. Suffering never gets the last word. Especially when you know that it was your own bad decisions that brought on suffering. This is a truth to hold on to. In your prayer, when you pray this psalm, or when your prayer is inspired by this psalm, say of your own suffering what David said of his. Father, your anger lasts but a moment. Your favor is for a lifetime. This is such a vital truth to remember. Dear friends, Christianity is not about getting life right. The gospel is not about following a biblical pattern so that you get it right. We are so trained to think that way through life that we very often apply that kind of thinking to our faith. Dear friends, Christianity is not about getting it right. It is about Jesus Christ, who got it right. And we are clothed in his righteousness. Our faith is about grace, the grace of God from beginning to end. It's about grace for sinners. Trust God. Trust his graciousness toward you. Sorrow may linger for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Look at verse 6. David gives a little hint about where he had gone wrong. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. David is confessing a sin here. Life was going good for me, but man, I am bulletproof. I'm good. God is blessing me. I must be getting it right. When things were going well, I imagined myself to be bulletproof. This is the worst kind of sin, because when we believe ourselves to be self-sufficient, then we begin to think that we don't really need God because we're getting it right. David had forgotten that his prosperity was not a reward from God for getting it right, but a blessing from God out of pure grace. And all he needed to say was, thank you. You've heard me quote it probably many times before, but a medieval Christian mystic named Meister Eckhart once said, if you pray one prayer in your whole life, if that prayer is thank you, it is enough. David said, I shall never be moved. Another translation has it, nothing can stop me now. But pride goes before a fall, doesn't it? Look at verse 7. You hid your face, I was dismayed. Let me ask you today and put this challenge before myself and before all of us. In your heart, have you turned God's grace upside down? Has God's grace become for you an entitlement? And when we begin to feel entitled to God's grace, we lose our sense of gratitude. We lose sight of the jaw-dropping miracle of our salvation, that God sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sin, to make us new. So, in your prayer, confess your false security, your sense of entitlement. Confess it for what it is. It's pride and sin. Confession is the beginning of gratitude. Now, at this point, verse 8, the whole tone of Psalm 30 shifts. And David says, to you, O Lord, I cry. To the Lord, I plead for mercy. But then David takes an odd turn. At least it's odd for modern ears. Verse 9, what profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? If David's prayer seems a little bit brash to us, brothers and sisters, the Jews have a name for this, and you know it. And it's actually very important part of Jewish culture. It's called chutzpah. And throughout the Old Testament, this is modeled by God's people. They are so confident in their prayer. not in a proud way, not in a boastful way, but confident in their relationship with God that they have chutzpah. Think of Moses when the people made the golden calf. Remember, Moses went up the mountain, up Mount Sinai, and he was up there a really, really long time, and the people got restless, and they gathered together their jewelry, their earrings and rings, and they melted them down, and they made a golden calf to worship. They wanted something that they could see, something like what the other nations had. And when God saw this, God was filled with righteous anger and threatened to destroy the people. Moses intervened and he said, now this is chutzpah. He said, God, what will the Egyptians think? You liberated this people and you taught those Egyptians a lesson, and now you get us out here in the desert and you're just going to zap us. The Egyptians are going to be real happy with that. And God relented. Verse 9, David prayed, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to have sanctified chutzpah with God. He's your Father. Trust Him. Another example out of the Old Testament is Jacob at the ford of the river Jabbok. And remember this mysterious figure who turned out to be God in a having taken on a fleshly form. This mysterious figure showed up in the middle of the night there by the ford of the Jabbok and wrestled with Jacob all night. And Jacob held on. Jacob knew who it was, and he held on. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And then God cheated and threw his hip out of joint. But he was blessed. Go to God in prayer and say, I will not let you go until you bless me. But notice David doesn't push too hard. He ends with a humble cry, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. And then he gives thanks again, and he makes a great commitment. He makes a promise to God. First, the thanksgiving. He says, you have turned my mourning, my grieving, into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. That's gratitude. And then he makes a commitment, a promise. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. I will hold on to gratitude. I won't allow myself to become complacent and entitled. I will be thankful. Psalm 30 is a prayer of hope. And the theme is hope in God's saving power. And even, and in fact, especially, when there seems to be no evidence of God's saving power in your life at the moment. And that's the key, at the moment. All suffering is momentary. All suffering is temporary. We are going to experience eternal joy that will make the suffering we experienced in this world seem like a tiny little blip. Listen to it once again. Karen read this a minute ago. Listen to it once again to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing, did you catch that? This slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That is so hard for us to get into our heads because we think the only thing that is real, and the modern world has taught us to believe, the only thing that's real is the things that we can touch and that we can see. Did you hear what Paul was saying? All these things are transitory. One day this really nice building that God provided for us is going to be dust and rubble. And you and I will be with the Lord forever, experiencing eternal joy. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Now, how do you hold on to that kind of hope? Has anybody here seen the movie? It came out, 10, 15 years ago, the movie The Pianist. It tells the story of Vladislav Spilman. True story. He was a Polish Jew who lived through the Second World War in Poland. He had eluded the Nazis for months, but his family was not so blessed. All of his family were executed. But a friend helped him find a new hiding place. It was an apartment, a small apartment, and the friend told him, keep as quiet as possible. You are now living in the lion's den. The head of the police lived right next door, and across the street was a hospital for wounded German soldiers. Well, the apartment had a piano, and Vladislav Spilman was a virtuoso pianist. He survived the war, and in the 1950s and early 60s, he was one of the most renowned concert pianists in the world. Well, in the silence of that apartment, he couldn't take his eyes off that piano. When his friend left, he went straight to the instrument and he sat down and he opened the lid. And then he began to play to the accompaniment of a symphony orchestra. And in the film, as Spilman plays, the camera pans down to his hands, and you see that he's actually not playing at all. His fingers are a few inches above the keys. The music is in his head and in his heart. And he goes to that piano every day and practices silently with the music in his head and in his heart. A theologian named Ruben Alves once said, hope is hearing the melody of the future. Faith is learning to dance to it. It's like David's prayer in Psalm 30. Pray this prayer, whether you feel like it or not. This is the kind of prayer that believes no matter what, that my soul can take hold of the promises of God, trusting in his promises whether I feel it or not, praying with confidence whether I feel it or not, praying with chutzpah because I know who my Heavenly Father is and his faithfulness. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this model of prayer that David left for us. These words inspired by you, so that we may give them back to you. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to endure suffering and disappointment with hope, knowing that whatever we go through in this world, it's not forever. But your promises are forever. What is unseen is eternal, more real than the things that we can see and touch in this world. So, oh God, inspire us by your Spirit. Teach us by your Spirit to pray with gratitude and hope. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.